Sure.
Welcome back to, I think now, the fourth part of the current review, episode number 23. My name is Thamsanqa Tu, also known as TT, sometimes the chairman. We are having a very relaxed Tuesday today. We're talking about things that we don't normally talk about, but very important in our lifetime. We are being joined by the national spokesperson for the National Arts Council, Mme Julie Diphofa. That's it, right? Yeah, Mme Julie Diphofa. We're going to be talking about the National Arts Council. We know that they do a lot for, you know, for the arts sector, and we're not going to be wasting a lot of time because we don't have much time with us. Good day, Meligai.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Please tell me, what is the core mandate for the National Arts Council?
Okay. We have quite a
And
broad.
what is the National Arts Council, and what is their mandate?
Okay. The National Arts Council is a funding agency. It's an entity that reports to the National Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The National Arts Council was enacted through an Act of Parliament in 1997. So we do have a mandate which is contained in our Act, in our founding documentation, which really is to encourage the provision of the arts, you know, give opportunities for people to practice, you know, the arts. We have to give rights to people to practice their arts. Support, you know, the historically disadvantaged communities to help them to access the arts, to foster international and national liaisons, and to make sure that we develop and promote, you know, excellence in the arts. So essentially, because we are a grant funding institution, we are broadly responsible for the development, promotion and promotion of the arts.
Have you been able to track the development of you know, of the arts since your establishment, back when you were established, to now, and see who actually are the beneficiaries? Are they is it evenly spread across the nine provinces, or is the particular province that benefits more than the others?
You know, through our experience and practice, with the work that we've been doing and the funding that we have done with the National Arts Council, we do have, you know, sort of successful stories of beneficiaries that we have supported that have actually even risen above. Requesting financial security or support, you know, from government that are now standing on their own. We have pockets of such success stories. We also notice that, you know, we are the one institution, the National Arts Council, and we are responsible for the nine provinces that we have in South Africa. And through the funding that we have given over the years, we have seen that the metropolitan provinces, which are, you know, Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal, will definitely have many more applications than other provinces. And in addition, you'll find that those applicants tend to be very successful in presenting their proposals to the NAC. So there is still a skewed development when you look at the equitable distribution of funding. But we are actively and proactively actually trying to address such disequilibrium in the sense that we now are coming up with percentage figures that needs to be allocated to each and every provinces so that we can allow growth in other provinces to occur.
And how do you communicate, you know, your messages to, you know, to the broader society, like, you know, especially in those areas where it seems that, you know, are not as responsive as your metropolitan provinces, as you mentioned?
We try to communicate, you know, with our prospective applicants, prospective beneficiaries throughout the country. We have several platforms that we are using. Number one, it will be the NAC website, www.nac.org.za. That's where most of the information people can find from us about the National Arts Council. We also have social media platforms. We have various of these platforms, which are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So these are the platforms that most of our stakeholders actually engage us through. We do have a call center in the office where anybody who is unable to get a connection or is about needs further information or needs assistance, they can actually call the call center. We also have a dashboard platform on our grant management system to assist applicants when they inquire about the National Arts Council's application processes. In addition, we also have provincial help desks. We have 9 of them because they serve as our branches or tentacles because we're just one national office. So this help desk, actually, people can walk in and seek further information. And these provincial workshops actually assist us in conducting the physical workshops that we run in the various regions within the provinces. In addition to that, the help desk, we also have do our own physical workshops in the provinces with some of our partners. It could be a department of sports, arts and culture in the respective provinces. It could be other organizations or institutions that we can work with. And lastly, we do have virtual webinars. We have sector briefing sessions that we run prior and post funding with our prospective beneficiaries and applicants in this regard.
Now the recent call for grant funding seemed to have had a lot of attention. Can you give us in numbers how many applications you may have received?
Let me, of course, the NAC is attracting quite a lot of applicants. Let me just give you a scenario. We had just over 9,000 applicants registering on the grant management system, obviously with the intention of applying to the National Arts Council. So we do attract thousands of applicants. In this funding sessions, our numbers are going to dwindle a little bit because we have dual submission processes. We have manual applications. We also have the grant management systems. So the number I'm going to give you now relates to the grant management system. So we received over 3,400 applications. The exact number is 3,447 so far. In the manual sphere, the walk-ins that came on Friday, we received 122. But some of the applications are actually have come through emails, and all of these need to be printed and collated. Then we can have an overall number. But so far, what we're sitting at the moment in terms of the GMS is 3,447.
And with so many applications, like, what is the process of sifting through these and actually selecting what will finally be the recipient of, you know, the grant system, the grant itself?
There are two processes that we go through. The first phase of review is actually the compliance phase. So when an applicant comes to the NAC, they need to fill in an application form, which would then, you know, propose the project that they will be undertaking, including their time schedules, as well as the budget, you know, that they're envisaging. In addition to that, there are compliance documents, which we'll call administrative compliance phase in this case, where they are required to submit a certified ID, which is valid within 12 months, reference letters, confirmation of bank details, and many of such. So the first phase is compliance, because an application, before it goes to the next phase, it should be fully compliant. So we will look at the compliance in each of the various disciplines. We have dedicated as development officers in each discipline to look at these applications and check for compliance. Those that are compliant will then go to the panel. We have various advisory panels that we have appointed as the National Arts Council from the sector itself. As prescribed by the Act, we need to have a sector of panel experts who would then advise the NAC and make recommendations on which of the applications can really go through for funding. But also let me state that within that process of, within the process of administrative compliance, we do have verification team that will go through the applications that have been declined by the office to see if a mistake was done. And if that is the case, then the application will then be sent to the panel for review. The panel, when they sit in each of the respective disciplines, they have a set of criteria that they need to review the application against. And this criteria has scoring in each of the pillars. So they'll make a scoring. Each panel comprises 4 members. The fifth member is a council member who chairs that panel. So after the review processes have been concluded, we collate all the scores and present them collectively to a panel at a sitting. There's still a meeting for them to sit and discuss the applications and the scoring in each of the provinces. And they would then, according to the thresholds per province, as per the allocated budget, will then recommend applications that would be supported. And the minimum benchmark would be that they need to get an average of 60% and above. And a lot of them do get that budget, but unfortunately do get that score. But unfortunately, it's not all of them that would be funded, because with the numbers that you see that we're getting, it then becomes quite a challenge budget-wise to allocate to all of those who would have complied. Of course, there are priorities, you know, that we have set as an institution for them to consider, for instance, applications from rural areas led by women, led or benefiting the youth, and also people living with disabilities. We also look at artistic merit as well.
And in terms of these applications per province, you mentioned earlier that you now have a criteria that says like you would require a certain number per province. Now let's look at the most advanced province. I would think in this regard would be Gauteng, mm-hmm. and the least advanced would be somebody like the Free State or the Northern Cape. Now looking at these two extremes, how many would you be expecting from Gauteng, and how many would be from, you know, either the Free State or the Northern Cape?
Okay, let me give you a scenario of the current budget breakdown, you know, so that you can have a view of what the figures and the numbers would look like. For instance, let's take the visual arts discipline with, for instance, a 2.5 million budget. For the whole province, which means every applicant coming from the various provinces would actually need to benefit from that allocation, because we have seven disciplines and each one of them is allocated a budget. So when the panel sits, already that 2.5 million will be disaggregated into percentages. For instance, 10% for Limpopo, 10% to the Northern Cape. Free State is actually get about 10% each. Gauteng, because it's the most populated province, will then get about 20%, and the rest is actually 10%. So let's say, for instance, the budget for Northern Cape or Free State tends to be, for argument's sake, 500,000. So it means that 500,000 allocated to the Northern Cape, all applicants that have come through after being scored, they will be allocated that number. And I mean, 500,000 is not a lot of money. So you would end up at most funding five in each of the provinces per discipline. Of course, Gauteng, because they've got a slightly higher allocation, it will be a bigger number of applicants. So we generally do not fund a lot, because what you also need to understand is a person may request 350,000 and we will not be able to fund them. But also you don't want to fund them too low so that they are not even able to implement the funding. So instead of giving each person 100,000 each, there might be three or four benefiting, the other one 200,000, 100,000, the other one 250 or 230, really depending on what their budget looks like and what the panel feels would be most feasible to implement the project. So this project funding of the NAC is actually quite a very small pot of funding. Hence, we wouldn't necessarily fund over 250 applications throughout the country in this funding session.
This brings me to my next question. What is the total grant funding for this,
It's 26 million for the whole country across the seven arts disciplines.
Okay. And you know, these applicants also experienced quite a number of challenges, especially on with the online applications. Are you aware of this? There are people who are complaining that they could not get through the system. The system was not responsive, and so on.
Yes, we are aware of the glitches and that applicants experience, and it's actually not even the first time. In each and every funding session, we do experience such challenges. We have an open window of applications, which spans 6 weeks. So through our online sessions, through our workshops that we conduct in the various areas, we always encourage applicants to start early with their application processes. Hence, we give them a 6 week window period, right? And we know that we are attracting a lot of applicants who register on the system and want to, you know, submit their applications. Regrettably, a lot of applicants will wait until the last 2 days to even start their application and upload. And some of them who would have started earlier would then unsubmit, because we do give them that platform to say, if you want to revise your application, you may unsubmit and revise your application and submit again, especially if it's before the deadline. So of course, this causes a massive, you know, traffic jam on the system. So it slows it down a little bit. And often, you know, people will say, no, it's slow or I can't connect. But at the same time, their local connectivity also plays a role there, because if their bandwidth it's quite limited, they would not be able to, you know, pull through the application in the shortest space of time. The Thursday, that is the day before the closing date, there was a technical glitch which we were able to fix on the budget tab. It didn't even take a long time, and we did get confirmations to say, no, it's now working well, because a budget also needs to be submitted as well. A detailed budget needs to be submitted as well. Now, of course, the Friday, which was the closing date, we opened this call on the 29th of January, we closed on the 8th of March. Now, that Friday, with a massive, you know, jam of people on the system, if you have over 9,000, I think we had close to over 10,000 that have registered, is that everybody's trying to fill in their application, everybody's trying to conclude, upload documents. And that takes, you know, a lot of I don't know how to call it in technical terms. They require more time and connectivity to actually load onto the system and to conclude their applications. And with such massive jam on the grant management system, it does create, you know, some delays where some other applicants will be able to submit their applications, others would not. And we do also receive, and we collate this information where a list of complaints would come in. Somebody would say, I've completed my application, I just could not click send. Or when I click send, it kept on hanging. So in the back office, we do have information. We can see when the application was started, when an applicant stopped, when they revised, when they uploaded, and so forth. So we do have that audit trail. And we're able to audit to say, okay, clearly this person finished the application at this time, but was not able to submit. And we will look at each and every one of them and see which ones we can then accept into the system.
Your answer is very detailed, and it sounds like you are saying to us and the rest of the people that are trying to get the applications through that there may not be an extension, you know, granted for, you know, for these applications. Is that
We will not give an extension, because we would have, there's a time lapse. If we were to do that, we would have done it by Friday. We don't give the extension because this process was open for 6 weeks, which gave applicants ample time to complete their applications in time and submit to the National Arts Council. I wish I could have a better message or a different message to still emphasize to applicants to say, start your application process from the day that we have opened the system for applications, instead of waiting until the last day. But that happens. It also even happens when we used to run a manual way, manual application processes, that you will see people sitting, you know, on the stoop of the National Arts Council and writing, you know, some reference letters, you know, to each other. It's something that, you know, has been happening all along. But at the same time, for those that have connectivity issues, we do have a manual application process. We do have manual forms that they can fill in, scan an email to the NAC, that will also be brought into the system of review of the National Arts Council. So we do have this dual way of applications that can come through to the NAC without, you know, the online process, because we do understand that some could be challenged, and that is why we do have an open one also for manual applications.
Now, tell me, like, how many funding sessions do you have per financial year?
Okay.
And when does your financial year end?
Okay, our financial year ends March 31 every year. So our financial year starts on the 1st of April to March the following year. So in this last financial year, we are actually ending at the end of this month. But annually for the National Arts Council, we have a minimum of 3 funding sessions. We can have a 4th one, particularly if we are running a 3-year arts organization support funding call. So the normal 3 funding calls that we would have will actually be this one that has just passed. That's the normal project funding, which is quite small. It's a very small pot. So in the last 3 years, we've been fortunate to also disburse the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program on behalf of the department coming from the presidency to support the creatives. So we're still going to have another call opening in May for the PSP. And our wish is that we do not experience the same when the call is open. It's going to be open on the 13th of May for the Presidential Stimulus Program. It's slightly a bigger call, although this year it's been reduced. We will be receiving 138 million, comparatively speaking.
I don't know if it's us that are breaking or it's the, you know, the NAC, but she seems to have been frozen. The likelihood is that there may be a session running from May where the presidential stimulus package or program will be
lost connection there. I seem to have lost connection there. I don't know if you had everything or I need to call to repeat.
I think you may want to start from the presidential stimulus package program that will be running, that will be starting from May.
Okay. Yes. Fortunately, we were also selected to run the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program this year again, which will be PSP5. It's got a budget of 138 million for funding. So it's a slightly bigger pot compared to the normal project funding of 26 million that we have as the NAC. It's actually 5 times better. So it's another opportunity that is coming for creative and cultural practitioners to take an opportunity and apply for it. We're going to open it hopefully from May onwards. I'll actually indicate the exact dates. Indicative dates are 13 May, but we are still waiting for council approval so that we can have those dates officially announced.
And besides these windows that you open for funding, isn't there like a normal funding program that runs throughout the year? For small and upcoming artists that may not necessarily be benefiting in these windows because there's a stampede that happens in these open windows that you guys run.
Besides this window, you'll notice that with this project funding, we started it earlier in the year because we were anticipating that we'll get PSP. So we start with the NAC funding pot. It's just one pot and it's 26 million and it just gets whittled out immediately. So we do not have any other additional funding that we can run throughout the year, unfortunately. However, we do have a small funding window of about 1 million, which we really earmark to applicants who get invitations abroad. If somebody comes in June after we've closed the funding session and say, I've got an opportunity to undertake a residency in India, can you please assist me with airfares? You know, we are able to do that with that emergency funding pot. It's also so small, it also gets exhausted very quickly. But that's just one small opportunity that we have. You see, if the Provincial Arts and Culture Council, if all of them actually were working optimally and supporting artists within the provinces and supporting those up and coming young artists in the locales, it will actually free the NAC a little bit to concentrate on the mid-career artists, to concentrate on the established artists as well. Unfortunately, we are the main funding body for the arts, and we support 75% of the arts disciplines that we have.
And just give us like some success stories, like just to close it on a positive note, you know.
Okay, we have quite a lot of success stories.
With the painting behind you there, who is the artist that?
Okay, starting with
the painting that's right behind you. I see a lady with a face that is, you know, covered with a duke.
I know this is one of our beneficiaries. I don't know why they didn't put their names down there. It's probably somebody that we would have funded, you know, in the previous years, regrettably. We have a number of success stories, and I would urge you and other viewers to actually go on our website to see the success stories that we publish. We have, I'll give you just a few examples, you know, that we have. You know, we support artists with disabilities, and we do have an example of that one where it features a success story which features musicians with disability and albinism, a project. We know also the bigotry against people living with albinism. So it's quite an important project that educate and conscientize people, you know, about the issues that people that are marginalized and disadvantaged, you know, go through. And these are also practitioners, artists in the field that actually is raising such awareness. In the field of literature, for instance, we have funded the Buku project, which looks at various languages that we have. In the craft disciplines, for instance, a lot of crafters are now using recycled materials, which actually helps to cap environmental waste. So they will be turning these waste products into beautiful and trendy jewelry accessories. You will see those on our website. We also have supported the projects of the Tswana people. This is a traditional and a cultural project showcasing, you know, the diversity that we have in the country. We've also supported pottery projects and many, many others. We're also proud of the comics series that we have also supported as part of literacy, enhancing literacy campaigns in the country.
I know I said we're closing, but I think there's one important thing that we seem to be neglecting a lot when we talk about the arts. We may talk about, you know, supporting the creatives themselves, you know, who are creating the arts and so on, but we hardly ever talk about you know, audience development, because you find that a lot of these artists are creating, but there is no recipient for the arts that they are, you know, they are creating. What is the arts, you know, the National Arts Council doing about developing a, you know, an audience for these pieces that these artists are creating? Because you may find that in Gauteng, as you were saying, that you've got a bigger part there, because it could be that there are more people who are actually the, you know, the audience and the appreciators of the art itself. But in other provinces, it is difficult for, you know, for the arts to be received by the people on the ground on the basis that there isn't a sufficient understanding of what is actually happening there.
Look, you know, through the projects that we fund, we inadvertently is a way of developing and creating audiences for the work. And as the National Arts Council, we proactively publicize these projects, even on our social media, to say, catch this project, it's happening at such and such a place. So in a way, we are supporting the creatives that we have funded for them to, you know, market, you know, the work that they will be showcasing. So that's one way that the National Arts Council is doing. But very importantly, we require our applicants also to make posters, because if you're not marketing your project, people will not know about it and will not even attend your events. So we proactively assist them to develop posters and show that our logo is there, and proactively showcase what they are able to sell, what they are able to see, because it's through the consumption of these artistic products and creation that they would have done that the people will then be able to attend the exhibitions, attend the shows, and so forth.
Thank you very much. That is the national spokesperson for the National Arts Council, Mayor Julie Lipofa. Thank you very much. We hope to be getting in touch with you for the next project that you guys will be running coming from May. And yeah, let's talk another time.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Julie Lipofa of the National Arts Council. I think for today we are done. We are out. We shall see you again next time.